We're focused a lot right now on the use of solitary confinement. I do want to give the Department of Corrections and Community Supervision, which is the agency that oversees New York State prisons, some credit, because they have been working to try to reduce the use of solitary. But it still is used significantly, and we know that solitary confinement does not make prison safer. It does not make a person behave better. All the statistics tell us that it actually makes prisons more dangerous and creates more violence. So I think there is an effort on all sides to try to deal with this issue. A couple years ago, there were 4,700 people in New York State prisons that were in solitary confinement. That number is now down to about 2,700, but that is still way too high. Nobody should be subject to long-term solitary confinement.
Define long-term solitary confinement. What does that mean? Because there is a huge debate here in New York about the appropriate use of solitary confinement.
Yes. So first of all, what is solitary confinement? In New York State, it's 23 hours a day locked in your cell, 1 hour a day of recreation, which is typically a back door to your cell where you go out in a caged-in area, a very small caged-in area the size of a parking space, oftentimes with a concrete roof over you and then just fencing around you.
Is that true in every facility across New York State? Does it look the same?
It doesn't look the same in every facility. In the newer facilities, that's what it looks like, the facilities that were built in the 1990s. In other the older facilities, they may have to take you out of your cell and bring you to a caged-in area where you can work out and then bring you back into your cell. But when they built the newer prisons, they just put the cage on the back of the cell, kind of like what they used to do in zoos to animals, but we stopped doing that because we decided that that was cruel and inhuman to do that, but we still do it to humans. And then your question about long-term, what does long-term mean? Well, the United Nations Special Rapporteur on Torture and Other Degrading and Dehumanizing Treatment, I think that's his full title, came out years ago to say that any longer than 15 days in solitary confinement is torture. So that's been the baseline that most advocacy organizations have been working from across the country, to limit any solitary confinement to no more than 15 days. And even that is a long time for a human being to be completely isolated.
What's the justification for holding someone in solitary confinement longer than that?
Well, I mean, historically, if you go back to when they first started using solitary confinement in the 1800s, they used it because they thought, that's where the name penitentiary came from. They thought that if you left a man in a cell alone with his Bible, that's all he had, he would think about the error of his ways and he would, you know, see the light and he would be completely reformed.
And become penitent.
So, penitent, right.
Yeah.
And what happened is they found, you know, after they studied that, Charles Dickens came over and he looked at the penitentiary in Pennsylvania to see how this solitary confinement thing was working. And they found that it didn't rehabilitate people. It drove men crazy. So it was pretty much abandoned in this country from like the late 1800s until like the 1970s. And then it came back with a vengeance, and it wasn't necessarily used for punishment per se. It was more used for prison management. It was, the prison population was exploding. Prisons were overcrowded all over the country, and fights would break out. There would be disciplinary issues, and the prison administrators just didn't know how to deal with it. So they just locked people up in solitary confinement. And it was like locking the problem away rather than dealing with it. So that was the explanation for it, was this is how we're going to make our prisons safer. You know, this guy just got in a fight in the yard, and so we're going to separate him, or we're going to put them both in solitary. But what people weren't realizing is that when they came out of solitary, they were going to be worse off than they were when they went in, and they were more likely to get in another fight. Worse yet, while in solitary, they were more likely to misbehave because the environment was driving them crazy. But I've been doing this job for over 33 years, 34 years, and I've seen what they call box hits. That's what solitary as a box hit. I've seen box hits of 5 years, 10 years. We have clients that have been solitary for 20 years, 30 years. And it's just, it's wrong. We need to move away from it. Colorado has completely abandoned using solitary confinement at all, and all of their statistics are showing that they have less violence, they have lower recidivism. It's just all of the science, all of the corrections experts now know that it's something that doesn't work and we should abandon it, and we should treat rather than punish.
I'm talking to Karen Murtaugh, Executive Director for Prisoners Legal Services.
We worked with DAI, Disability Advocates, and Legal Aid, and a private law firm, and brought a statewide impact case. It wasn't a class action, but it had statewide impact about solitary confinement, arguing that the state should be prohibited from putting seriously mentally ill people in solitary confinement. And that case, we ultimately, everybody sat down at the table, and we were able to settle that case. So, soon thereafter, a statute was passed that prohibits the placement of seriously mentally ill people in solitary, which just makes sense. You wouldn't think we'd have to have a law to say that, but we did.
The progressive community is expecting a lot from the New York State Legislature, and they return to their jobs in a few days. What are you looking forward to in 2019 from a legislature that is now, the balance of power has shifted and more opportunities are now open for progressive change? What are you looking for?
Well, you know, I'm hoping that people will have open minds about a number of issues that have been before the legislature for years and have never gained any traction. While, you know, we can't go and lobby on issues, we have clients who are directly impacted by many, many issues that the legislature has control over. So I would hope, you know, from the area of solitary confinement to civil rights law 50A, which we didn't get into, but you know, it is a law that protects personnel records of police officers and corrections officers and firefighters from FOIL, from being released under the Freedom of Information Law. And there's been a whole bunch of litigation on that issue. I would hope that would be addressed by the legislature. We don't do criminal law, but there's, you know, I've read a lot in the paper about the need for bail reform in New York State. There's just so many things that we could do. New York has in the past been a beacon for human rights and civil rights, and I think that our chance is now to be that beacon again, especially in light of what's going on at the federal level. So I would hope that they would seriously look at a number of the proposals that have been in the hopper for many years to address human and civil rights issues.
Are you hopeful for reform of the solitary confinement laws in New York State?
I hope something happens. I mean, we do the litigation piece on that, but I hope that there's been a huge public education campaign about solitary confinement. There's been a number of cases that have been filed, not only here in New York, but in the country. And I do believe in evolving standards of decency. And I've seen it in my own lifetime. We are going in the right direction. It's just that it seems to take an awful long time to get there.
Well, thank you for being a part of helping us get there. If our listeners want to learn more about Prisoners Legal Services, how can they find you?
They could go to our website at www.plsny.org. And that provides information about all of our offices. We have four offices across the state. It gives contact information. It tells what prisons each of our office serves. There's a whole section that you can read about all the cases that we have filed, and talks about all our different units, our immigration unit, our mental health project, our family matters unit. So it's very informative.
Are you on Facebook?
And we are on Facebook, yes. Prisoners Legal Services of New York, and it will come up on Facebook. People can feel free to make a donation on our website. There's a PayPal link, or there's an address and they can send us a check, and we can use as many donations as people want to give us.